Hello, everybody, and welcome back. I feel like I can't even say welcome back because it's been like 3 months.
Yeah.
But welcome back if you've listened to my podcast before, all three, four episodes, to the Crazy Eyes podcast with your host, AK. And I have a co-host with me tonight, a very special guest.
Your favorite.
My sister, Holly.
Hi.
This is her first time on a podcast, as are most of my guests, when I just force them to be...
Yeah, I was pressured into this. Did she get me ice cream?
So, everything's been really crazy because of COVID. Honestly, I wish I could blame it all on COVID, but it's been, like, COVID, trapped inside. I'm finally getting out of the Navy.
Yay!
And hopefully I'll be able to take this podcasting full-time in, like, 16 years from now, so hit me with that subscribe. I'm on Patreon, I'm on Apple Podcasts, I'm on Spotify. If you like this podcast, tell your friends. If you hate it, tell your friends. Maybe they'll like it. And leave me a good review, please. Every review counts. I saw my first nasty review. Honestly, I wanted to be upset, but I was a little bit excited. I was like, okay, I have a hater.
Now what's you're up? Really famous.
What is up? I totally know who it is, too. It's that bitch from high school. But it's all right if it's you. I see you stalking me. I'm probably going to get even worse reviews now because people are going to be like, it was me and I hate your podcast.
Well, I don't know. It sucks to be them, I guess.
What are you going to do?
You hate to see it.
So this is actually our first international case. I'm pretty excited to tell you guys about it. It is the Richardson family murders. Werewolves? Question mark.
What?
I know. So Holly is reacting to this case along the way. So today I'm going to tell you guys the bizarre case of Jasmine Richardson and the murder of her family. This is the craziest case, not the craziest case, but one of the craziest cases I've ever researched. And I just started my research today and I already have 2,800 words, 7 pages, 12 font, single spaced. So this is going to be a longer episode, which I'm really excited about because some of the episodes I had done before, I'm like, oh, this is going to be 30 minutes long. And it's like 24 minutes long, not that long at all. And I don't know if you guys are like me. I listen to podcasts at 1.5 times speed. And you're probably like, no, I have to listen to her podcast at 0.5 times speed because I know I talk really fast. I'm going to start working on that.
No, don't talk like that.
It's too slow.
It's like jazzy.
It's jazzy. This is my announcer voice. So, let's get into it.
Yeah.
That was a TikTok reference. I don't know if my podcast listeners are too old for TikTok. I'm too old for TikTok. I probably shouldn't fucking be on TikTok. But currently my TikTok with its one video is doing way better than my podcast.
Yeah, with like 15,000 views.
On my one TikTok video, maybe my next podcast should be how to get TikTok famous in one video. I don't know, guys, maybe I'll let you in on the secret. I'm not really sure. I just rented a bus and took a video of it. And now I'm making my way to the top. Making my way downtown. All right, guys, so let's cut to it. Jasmine Richardson grew up in Alberta, Canada. She and her family lived in a small town called Medicine Hat. The city is nestled in southeast Alberta, located along the southern part of the Saskatchewan River. I don't know if I said that right, so I'm so sorry if I mispronounced that. I'm terrible at English, even though it's my first language. I have no excuse. It's spelled Saskatchewan River. With a population of just over 63,000 people as of 2016. It's super lush and green in the summers, and the winters are dry, sunny, and cold. Alberta is pretty picturesque with rolling snow-covered mountaintops and beautiful clear lakes. It's the standard small town, it seems. I'm not from Canada, but I'm sure it's pretty similar to an American small town where everyone knows everyone and their business. So these murders really shocked the entire community in 2006. We grew up in a small town.
Yeah.
So if anybody gets into trouble, like, we automatically know about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're going to find your mugshot. If you went to high school with us, we know what's going on.
Yeah, everyone knows everything.
It can be a good and a bad thing. I feel like mostly bad.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
For parents and stuff, they want to raise their kids in a small town because that's where you feel safe and there's a community and, you know, you can run to your neighbors if you need help. type of scenario. So Jasmine grew up with loving parents in a middle-class Canadian family, and her parents are Deborah and Mark, and she has a younger brother, Tyler, who's 8 years old at the time. She was described as happy, social, excitable, and just your regular young tween prior to meeting her boyfriend, who will play a huge role in our story. She was attending an all-girls Catholic school.
Oh.
I wish I could show Holly's face right now. Holly, why are you reacting that way?
Because, I don't want to sound like your typical, teenage, boys are just so much more chill. But, it's kind of true because girls are just so rude.
Girls can be rude and they're catty. And I also feel like people that send their kids to an all-girls or all-boys Catholic school are like, oh, this is the better school. My kid's going to be really well-behaved. And then their kid is like, I'm going to rebel.
Yeah, it's just not the best choice for some people.
So, unfortunately, we don't have a ton of details on Jasmine due to her age when the crime was committed, but Jasmine starts on 180 for the worst. Her parents aren't super concerned at first, figuring it's just typical teenage behavior, getting into new hobbies and changing what she likes, and it starts off with darker makeup and darker clothes. Holly's laughing so hard right now because my mom thinks she's totally goth.
Yeah, I'm not, goth. I just, black is more flattering.
Black is more flattering. As she points at me with her long acrylic black nails.
You painted them because the green was
black.
Bad.
She loves black, though, and she dyes her hair dark.
You're wearing all black right now, too.
I am, just coincidentally. Oh. I have a true crime podcast. Okay, you'd expect me to be goth, but I am totally flower child, happy, bright colors.
You are your mom's dream child.
Living off the land. She just starts this trend where she's wearing the dark clothes, thick black eyeliner. She's identifying as emo goth, but in more of an extreme way. I knew people in high school who were emo and goth, but they were just kind of emotional, and they didn't really strike me as the violent type. It was more of an identity crisis where they just really liked screamo or punk, or they wanted to dress that way to, get their parents' attention, I feel like. I'm not looking at you specifically.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying the people who are super into screamo. And so her parents noticed that Jasmine is starting to shift away from her usual friend group and becoming more deviant in her behavior. She started getting into trouble at school, which had never really happened before, and she was described as being a rule follower and being generally into mostly girly stuff. School officials contacted her parents for not obeying the dress code and for drawing satanic in nature related Sharpie tattoos.
Oh.
Yeah. I was going to say typical revolting teen shit, but I never drew a Pentagon tattoo on my forearm.
Yeah. There was one kid who did that in my middle school or something, and they took it so seriously he got suspended.
Well, I mean, too, you don't go to a Catholic school. I feel like at a Catholic school, if you're like, hail Satan, they're like, hell no. Yeah. Or they're like, heck no.
Yeah.
I don't think they say hell.
Probably.
So now on to Jeremy, the boyfriend. So Jeremy is so problematic. I mean, obviously we know he's going to be problematic, but I'm conflicted on how to feel about Jasmine because the boyfriend is 11 years older than her.
Oh,
he is 23 years old when they meet and she is 12. So
red flag.
I want to feel like Jasmine is almost a victim here. And I'm not condoning the complete annihilation of your family because that's entirely not okay. But he's way older than her. And at that age, you're so young and vulnerable. It's easy to be groomed by an older guy. Also, Jeremy's upbringing was not as wholesome as Jasmine's. When they met, he's unemployed. He's a high school dropout. He had a rougher childhood. His mother was described as a raging alcoholic whose partners abused her in front of Jeremy. And he was bullied all throughout school. By the time that he meets Jasmine, he already has a well-documented past of depression and mental health issues, having attempted to commit suicide in the past. But they bonded over common interests, and they were both members on the website vampirefreaks.com.
Oh. Does he know that she's 12, or...
So, I don't know. I mean, he must find out she's 12, but on one of her profiles, and I'll get into that, she lied and said she was 15, so I don't know if she lied to him then, but, obviously at some point he finds out she's 12 and continues to date her.
15, 12, still too young for a 23-year-old.
Yeah, still too young. I mean, to me, I would have had this guy, arrested. I don't know if you can have him arrested for talking to your daughter, but... Jeremy also reportedly tells his friends that he loves the taste of blood, hence vampirefreaks.com,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
And in my show notes, I wrote, I really like the taste of corn, so I'll sign up for Farmers Only. Ha 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 ha. For some reason, when I was writing the script, I'm like, that's a funny joke. Put that in there. And now I'm like, it's not that funny, you dumb bitch. So, yeah, if you guys find me on Farmers Only,
no.
Well, yeah, I think my boyfriend would be pretty upset, but... So, when Jeremy was Jasmine's age, he had already developed quite an elaborate persona, according to one of my sources. But he begins claiming that he is a 300-year-old werewolf.
No.
I mean, I know they go to Hot Topic, and they listen to Screamo, and they're into punk and goth and emo, and, like, I know some people who are goth, like, my age, that are totally chill. And I don't know any of them that are claimed to be a 300-year-old werewolf. Or like the taste of blood. So you're thinking typical crazy shit, right? Wrong. He continues on with that into adulthood and infamously always wore a vial of blood around his neck.
Actually, that's becoming like a thing now. Like couples will do that in like high school and stuff.
Wear each other's blood?
Yes, and like a little vial.
Thank God I'm not in high school right now. That shit is creepy. I don't know if this is his own blood or if this is someone else's blood. And I don't think it's Jasmine's blood because he's been wearing it for quite a while.
Well, that is...
Where did he get the blood? Is it his own blood? How do you get the blood in the vial?
Usually when you wear, like, a vial of blood, it's usually, like, your either your own or, like, your, like, significant other's.
I also wonder if it looks like a little vampire vial or if it looks like a CBC tube. Test tube just tied to a string around your neck.
It kind of looks like... It's like a crystal...
Past the blood situation... when they meet, they met at this punk rock concert, and Jasmine gives Jeremy her number, and like I said, I don't know at the time if he knew that she was 12, but you can obviously tell that this girl is not 23.
Yeah.
So, dude, you are old enough to drink, and I think in Canada it's 19, but here it's 21. You're old enough to drink, you should not be talking to a teenager. It's weird.
Yes.
If they were, like, 17 and 20, maybe, because, you know, it's a three-year age difference, but 23...
And 12?
Or 13. I mean, 12 or 13 is too young for a boyfriend-girlfriend, in my opinion, anyways. So they had a lot of shared interests. They bonded over music, gothic appearance, feeling out of place in society, and here begins their secret romance. They communicated frequently on a website called Nexopia? It was a popular website for young Canadians. Some of these messages used to be public before the accounts were removed by the Nexopia staff, but Jasmine's username on the site was Runaway Devil.
Oh.
Right. Claiming to be 15, even though she was only 12 at the time. And on her page, the header said, "Welcome to my tragic end."
What is that supposed to mean?
Foreshadowing, I guess. On Jeremy's page, he described himself as being dark, mysterious, and liking mosh pits and Criss Angel.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know who Criss Angel is, but I wouldn't like him even if I was into mosh pits being dark and mysterious. So naturally, when Deborah and Mark find out that their daughter is carrying on a relationship with this 23-year-old man... They, of course, like any good parents, would immediately put an end to it. They prohibit their daughter to see Jeremy, and they're like, hey, that's totally not okay, and you're not going to see him anymore. Understandable, right? Well, what happens when you tell your daughter, who's already rebelling, she's no longer allowed to see a boy?
Well, she's probably going to go for him still.
I'm asking my teenage sister if mom and dad say, hey, you cannot see this boy.
I mean, I probably wouldn't. I don't get in trouble. I can't do it anymore.
But if you were, like, in love with him, you were Romeo and Juliet.
I don't believe in love.
That's my favorite response.
I'll leave it in there.
This is my dark and twisted sister. This is why we're naming my audio production company the Twisted Sisters. I just feel like when you're a teenager and your parents are like, hey, you can't drink, you're like, I'm gonna have every alcoholic beverage I can find to consume. Because, you know, you just want to have the screw you attitude, I do what I want.
Yeah, I mean, like, throughout your teenage years, like, all you want to do is feel like you're independent and you're on your own.
Yeah, even if you're totally not. That I totally remember that feeling of just being like, screw you, I can do it on my own. And I wish I was in high school. This older boy who's taking interest in her, man, not boy, and I feel like he's grooming her and making her feel like they've connected and they're soulmates, and it just makes her want to see him even more. When Jeremy finds out that Jasmine's parents have banned her from seeing him any longer, he angrily takes to his online blog, and this is April 3rd, 2006, and he writes, "Payment! Exclamation point. My lover's rents are totally unfair. They say that they really care. They don't know what's going on, but just assume. Their throats I want to slit. Dot, dot, dot. Finally, there shall be silence. Their blood shall be payment! Exclamation point."
That is just completely terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's ominous. I feel like if I was a friend of his, or not even a friend, but I had him on social media, I would be like, hello, cops. Click, 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 click.
Yeah, not only is that just weird because it sounds like it's from, like, the 1800s, but that's also, like, he's definitely saying, like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna kill them.
Right? Their throats I want to slit. Finally, there shall be silence. There shall be silence. Their blood shall be payment.
Like, how did no one know that?
I don't know. It honestly sounds like it might be, like, a Shakespeare play.
I mean, if someone said that about my parents, I don't care how in love I am with them, like,
run. Yeah, don't talk about killing my parents. I might kill you.
Yeah.
For legal reasons, I'm joking. So according to the police reports, it's actually Jasmine who suggests that they kill her parents. In an email that was recovered by the Canadian police, she wrote to Jeremy and she says, "It begins with me killing them and ends with me living with you," end quote. Again, not condoning killing your whole family, girlfriend, but you're like 12 years old at this time and obsessed with this guy who's a full-ass man and just egging her on to be a horrible person in the name of their love. Love. I put air quotes next to love.
Yeah, I mean, how in love can you be when you're 12 with a 23-year-old?
Not in love at all.
Exactly.
Jeremy reportedly replied to the email with a response, quote, "Well, I love your plan, but we need to get a little more creative with, like, details and stuff," end quote. With, like, details and stuff. I'm just murdering your parents casually.
She's like, details, you know, and stuff. Like, what?
I made a Pinterest board about it.
Oh, God, that is just so insanely scary.
And it's too casual. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's You'd like have to be no a psychopath, emotion. Too, to not think, hey, this guy's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So Jeremy and Jasmine and some friends reportedly watched the 1994 film Natural Born Killers, about a young couple who go on a violent killing spree the night before.
Interesting.
And Jeremy Steinke, I haven't said his last name this whole time. I'm the worst podcaster ever. Jeremy Allen Steinke, that's his full name. I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm still finding my footing, especially after this long break. But Jeremy told his friends that he and his girlfriend should go about their plans in a similar manner, but without sparing her little brother. Who's 8.
Oh, my goodness.
He's just literally a kid, doing nothing. And if her parents are so horrible, which they don't sound like they are, why wouldn't you want to save your brother? Apparently, she goes on to tell more of her friends about her plans to kill her parents, but they don't believe her and they think she's joking. And I don't know about you, but if one of my friends said, hey, I'm gonna go kill my parents, I'd be like, number one, hey, don't do that. 2, I'd be thinking to myself, you are fucking crazy, but I wouldn't say it to you because I wouldn't want you to start your murderous rampage because of me, you know? And number 3, I'm like 12, so I'd be telling my fucking parents in an effort to save your parents so you can see a therapist because clearly you need one.
Or, like, just be put in a mental hospital because, like, once you want to kill someone, like...
Yeah, at that point, you definitely need inpatient psychiatric treatment. So, tragically, the pair go through with their plan. The next day, a neighbor told reporters that their young son went over to his friend's house, who's actually Tyler, the younger brother, and thought that he saw a body through the window. So, he ran home and told his mother, who then called the police. At 1 p.m. on April 23rd, 2006, Canadian Inspector Brett, I'm going to call him Inspector Brent, because it sounds hot, and he's a Canadian, and Canadians are so nice, and their prime minister is pretty cute, you know, so I'm going to just refer to him as Inspector Brent. He arrives on the scene and looks into a basement window where he saw at least one person on the ground. He called to the other officers for backup, thinking they might be able to save someone in the house, but nobody was alive. Mark Richardson, Deborah Richardson, and their 8-year-old son, Tyler Richardson, had all been brutally murdered. And the one family member, the 12-year-old daughter, Jasmine, was missing from the scene. So Inspector Brent said in a newspaper, it wasn't even in the realm of possibility that she was being accused. So piecing the events together, the police found that Deborah was killed first after being stabbed at least a dozen times.
Oh my God.
Mark fought back with a screwdriver but was stabbed to death as well, with the medical examiner reporting over 2 dozen stab wounds on his body, 9 in the back. Both parents' bodies were found in the basement, and the body of their son, this is so sad, it makes me want to cry, was discovered upstairs with his throat slashed open in blood-soaked sheets and his bloody handprint on the wall.
Oh.
I know. I mean, what? It is so... I mean, I know we're a little lighthearted in this episode, joking around and stuff, but I can't even imagine the fear that went on in that little boy, because it's like, this is his big sister. And, like, yeah, you trust your siblings.
Exactly. Like, imagine them just, like, murdering you.
Could you imagine me killing you?
No.
Also, like, you're 5'6", and I'm 5'1", so I don't... Yeah. It wouldn't go well for me.
Yeah, I mean, unless you had your boyfriend do it for you. I can see CJ killing me.
So, she just dragged our brother like that.
Well, I mean, like, he just seems like he only cares about animals.
Yeah, and see, psychopaths and sociopaths, they don't care about animals.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, he'd probably kill us.
CJ is just your typical 20-year-old guy. He is sweet, and he really loves his family, and he cares about his animals, but he is very focused on school, very focused on also joining the Navy. He's totally in the zone, and he's just kind of got that, like, endearing asshole way about him. I don't know what other better way to describe it. But, like, if I ever killed someone, CJ would totally be who I called to help me hide a body.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, he would do it. No, I'd probably call you, too. It'd be a sibling affair. Jackson would have some good jokes to throw in there.
Yeah, he's really quiet, but whenever he talks, he's just funny.
He is funny. There's the four of us, so at some point throughout this podcast, I'll have to get the other three siblings on here. Jackson's in the Navy right now doing his training, so... and then CJ will be doing his, and then Holly will probably be the only one of us that doesn't join the Navy. The smartest one of us all. So, it's tragic. It's really sad. So, the police at this point are fearing that Jasmine is a victim. And they make a statement that they're looking for her and issued an Amber Alert to be sent out. According to the Globe and Mail, a Canadian media website, the neighbors describe the family as polite and normal. Phyllis Jering, who lives next door to the home where the bodies were found, said the family had lived there for about 3 years. She said, quote, "We knew them, but it wasn't like they came over or we went there. We had no problem with them whatsoever. I never heard a harsh word between the mother and father, and this is very surprising for me, and it's very hard to deal with." End quote. And as a white truck sat in the driveway of the house with its passenger window smashed out, investigators brought in dogs, taped off the house, and got to work. They're racing against the clock at this time for clues to hopefully locate Jasmine Richardson, who they still believe to be missing at this point.
So they think she's innocent.
But shortly after that, investigators recover evidence in Jasmine's room and locker, and then they make her and her boyfriend Jeremy the prime suspects. The next day, the pair was arrested in the community of Leader, there's that name again, Saskatchewan, about 81 miles away from their... According to one of our sources, a trail of digital evidence led to Jasmine Richardson and Jeremy Steinke, mainly consisting of the email exchanges between the two. They were tracked down and arrested in Steinke's truck. It was indicated that Steinke killed Richardson's parents downstairs while she was upstairs in her brother's room. Witnesses testified that the two had admitted to the murders. One witness recounted Steinke saying that the victims had been gutted like fish.
So he has absolutely no remorse then?
No, and we're going to get into that because he lays all the details out for the officer and just acts super casual about it. Both were charged with the three murders, and later, on May 3rd, 2006, Jeremy's friend Casey Lancaster, 19 at the time, was charged with being an accessory for driving them away in her pickup truck and disposing of evidence for them.
Oh my goodness. So there's another crazy person.
Yeah, I mean, I would never do that for a friend.
Ever.
It's crazy to me why you wouldn't just turn them into the police. So she ends up getting house arrest for a year, and she has to abstain from drugs and alcohol, but she doesn't get too harsh of a punishment.
Oh, okay.
It's terrible, but
yeah, whatever. I mean, really, you helped your friends hide evidence of a murder. Shortly after their arrest, Jeremy proposes to Jasmine. They're writing each other like jailhouse lovebirds. And she says yes, completely brainwashed for this guy.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so Jasmine ends up pleading not guilty to all three counts. I don't know how or why. Right.
Does she even get, like, help?
Yeah, so, however, on July 10th, 2007, a jury found her guilty, and she was sentenced to the maximum, which for a 12-year-old was only 10-year sentence allowed by the Youth Criminal Justice Act. She was required to serve 4 years of her sentence in a psychiatric hospital.
Oh, okay.
I feel like the whole thing should have been done in a psychiatric hospital.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, hopefully, you know, jail scared her a little bit.
I mean, I don't know. She's 12. She's brainwashed. I don't know if you can ever commit something like that and then go back to normal life. I feel like, can you be rehabilitated? It's a hard thing. So the lead investigator spoke openly on this verdict. This is my Inspector Brent. Mm-hmm. At one point, I was mad. He said, quote, mad that she wasn't treated as an adult, but I've also gone the other way and felt sorry for her, he said. Now he says he trusts the system. He says again, quote, at one point, I wanted her to be locked up forever. I don't think I'm there now. I hope she moves on and becomes a productive member of society. That's tough coming from me. If you had asked me 5 years ago, I would have given you a different answer. And as awful as her crimes were, he says that he doesn't think she's without hope. He says, I don't think she's truly evil. I've met some of those people that are bad to the bone, and she's not one of them. I mean, like, she's 12, so her entire personality's not even formed yet, and I feel like this guy was a huge negative influence on her.
Yeah, I mean, he was just, like, completely, you know, he was crazy, had crazy childhood. He should not have just put that on such a young child.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's total predator grooming. You can't be a man and then groom a 12-year-old. Like, they don't know what they're doing. It's so easy when you're young to fall for anyone's bullshit.
And I'm not saying, like, anything she did was okay, but I just think, you know, it's good to see it as, like, she's young and has, like, a young brain.
Yeah, and not that she's capable of making her own decisions, although at 12 I would never have made a decision like this.
Yeah.
So Jeremy Steinke, who actually did all of the killings, had dressed in black, wearing a mask, and snuck into the home to commit the murders. The Canadian prosecutors painted him as a cold-blooded killer who not only took advantage of a younger girl, but went on a murderous rampage after being told that he couldn't have her. But here's where we get to where I'm saying I don't think he had remorse. While in interviews, he remarked to the officer details about the horrific crime. He told the officer that the girl slit her brother's throat.
What?
Yeah, so he said that she slit her brother's throat, but she denied that in her trial. He said, quote, it didn't bother her at all either. She didn't cry or anything. In fact, the next day we were on the road, she was fucking laughing about it. She got a few screws loose too, end quote. And he also told him of their plan to run away and having a Gothic wedding at a church in Germany.
I mean, out of all the questions I ask, why Germany? Like, how do they plan on getting there?
Think they're getting to Germany? Yeah, dude, you just murdered three people, so you're going to jail for life.
Yeah, also, you know, she's considered, you know, before they got caught, she's considered missing, so, I mean, how is she going to get out of the country?
With no passport, and, I mean, in Germany, I'm pretty sure it's still not okay for a 23-year-old to marry a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
This is not medieval times.
That was just not going to happen.
Yeah, and I don't know if she was really laughing about it or not. I mean, it's sick to think of it like that. But on December 15th, 2008, almost 2 years after the murders, Jeremy Steinke went to trial and his mother took the stand in his defense. Jeremy cried in his prisoner uniform as Jacqueline May, his mom, told the court about the beatings and abuse that he endured at the hands of her ex-husbands and lovers. She said, quote, he said he wished he had never been born, adding that her son had been on antidepressants and medication for ADHD since the early teens. I know tons of people on depression medicine and ADHD medicine, and I've had ADHD since I was a kid, and I've never been on a murderous rampage.
There's no excuse.
There isn't an excuse. I mean, trust me, it is traumatic if you grow up with an abusive parent. It is traumatic. And it's traumatic watching your parent have an alcohol issue. It's traumatic watching your mom be beat. But these are things that you can't take out on other people. You have to go to therapy and you have to seek help. And I mean, it's hard. I understand that. But why, if it bothered you so much to see someone else being hurt, would you think, hey, it's okay to hurt someone else? That's never, ever the answer.
It just makes no sense.
So when the jury comes back, they found Jeremy Allen Steinke to be guilty of premeditated first-degree murder on 3 counts, and he received 3 life sentences. But he will be eligible for parole after serving 25 years, which I think he should be not eligible for parole at all. The Canadians are being a little too friendly here.
Yeah, I mean, he just killed a whole innocent family and brainwashed a little girl.
Right. So his mother cried after hearing the verdict, and while clutching a Bible, ironic, since her son and his girlfriend were demon worshippers and vampires and werewolves or whatever,
yeah,
she said she did not think he would get first degree.
Girl, come on. I think that was predictable.
It was predictable. They emailed about it. He said, thou shall art get punishment.
Yeah. They watched a movie.
And commented planning, to their friends.
Yes, and planning to murder her family.
Right. And not only that, but it's just like, he sent the emails back and forth. He was like, they won't let me see her. There shall be blood.
I'm pretty sure he posted that. Like, that was like a post.
Right, and at what point, as a mom, if you see your son with the blood vial on his neck, claim to be a 300-year-old vampire, and hating people, and being all into this goth emo scene, like the extreme end of it, where he's just like, I love blood. And in one of the sources I read, and I don't know how credible this is, but, you know, I'm going to include all my sources in the show notes, he said that he made blood sugar cookies with a friend once, and that they were delicious, and they had a pink tinge to them.
No.
That is disgusting. Why don't you donate your blood?
Yeah.
Just donate it. Instead of eating it in sugar cookies, I'm pretty sure that's not good for you. It sounds like a weird Kim Kardashian diet.
Yeah, you can get, like, money for your blood. Like, get that bank.
CJ sells this plasma.
Yeah. It's, like, it's good. You can do, like, 2-3 times a week, and it's, like, $50 or something.
And it also helps people. Maybe in the show notes we'll include a donation center, the local donation center where you can donate blood and platelets. People need them, you know? So shout out to the American Red Cross. You guys can donate your blood, donate your platelets, don't wear them around your neck. He actually changes his name as well in prison. I don't know if he thinks that's going to help him, but he does it to honor his mom, who ends up passing away while he's serving his prison term. He's still in prison as of right now. He's not released on parole, and he goes by the name Jackson May instead of Jeremy Steinke. Jasmine, however, is now a free woman. So she would be about 26 years old now, which is crazy. That would make her about 2 years older than me. And I don't know if she's still living in Canada or what. Like, she's a free woman, so she's allowed to leave. That would be fucking crazy. What if one of my friends is her? I mean, you wouldn't recognize her from the photos either, because she was like 12.
Yeah, I mean, does she have the same name as far as...
I don't know. I couldn't find that. And a lot of the stuff, I mean, her name was not allowed to be published in a lot of the Canadian sources at the time because she was so young. So in September 2011, Richardson began attending classes at the Mount Royal University in Calgary, in Alberta. During the final year of her sentences, she was released from the 10-year sentence at a psychiatric hospital in the fall of 2011, and in October 2012, it was reported that her rehabilitation was going well, and she expressed remorse for her actions, and the experts considered it genuine. In May 2016, her sentence was completed, and she was freed of any further court-ordered conditions, restrictions, or supervision after final sentence review on May 6, 2016.
So she didn't have parole after at all?
No. She's totally a free woman. So she could have moved to a different country, changed her name. I mean, honestly, if it were me, which I would never murder my family again, just want to reiterate, but if it were me, I would probably, you know, dye my hair. If you truly felt remorse for it, and like again, it's never okay to kill your whole family, but I do genuinely feel for her in a way that she was brainwashed by this older guy who told her, like, it's okay to act like this, it's okay to be this way. So if she's truly rehabilitated and wanting a fresh start, I would definitely move to a new country, change my hair color, mm-hmm. change my name, and just try to start all over. But what do you tell people when you're dating them, like, where your family is? Oh, I killed them all.
Yeah, how can you even recover from this?
I don't know.
How can you trust another person ever again?
And if that person, if you end up marrying someone and that person finds out, that you're that person, do they leave you? Or, I mean, I probably would. I'd be like, oh, yeah, shit, are you going to kill me?
Really scared, terrified.
And it's like, you at some point, if you, like, love that person, when you want to tell them the truth, but you can't ever really be like,
yeah,
hey, just casually, so I used to date this vampire goth guy, and he convinced me that I was in love with him, but he was, like, a total pedophile because I was 12 and he was 23. And then, yeah, we just killed all of my family members, so that's why I don't have any family. So tell me about yours. Is this a first date or a third date type of conversation?
I mean, you have to, like, I don't know, maybe she wouldn't ever tell anyone because, like, how can you trust someone after that? Although they do deserve to know. And it's also different for, like, girls rather than guys because, if, like, if a guy told me, like, a 6'4", like, whole man was just like, I killed my entire family, it's different than when, like, a 5'2", like,
you know, girl. Little girl does it, which is total sexism, but I mean, I guess you feel less threatened by them. Although this is still pretty fucking scary.
It is still terrifying. I mean, if I was this, I don't care if
she'd have to make up a story. You'd have to be like, I'm in the witness protection program, no more questions.
Yeah.
I think that's all the time I have. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really hope you guys liked this episode. It was a little bit more lighthearted than my last episodes. Not the topic, clearly. But I tried to make this a little more, you know, jokey-jokey. And I have my sister here, even though I will reiterate, I do not think that murder is a joke. I'm just trying to bring a little true crime comedy to your life. Maybe spice it up a little. If you guys are into that. Where's the flavor? It's here. And if you guys like listening to me and Holly, all six of you, hi mom, please don't get pissed that I put my teenage sister on the podcast. If you guys liked listening to this, please let me know because I would love to have her on more episodes. It's really fun forcing my friends and family to participate in my weird hobby of loving true crime. And I just love having her on here. And it was her first time, and I'm still finding my podcast footing, clearly. But let us know how we did. Give us any feedback, any cases you guys want to hear about. So, yeah, and check us out on Facebook, on Instagram, and leave us a review. Thank you guys so much.